All right, we're here. So we're here for a group call, and let's just take a nice deep breath together and kind of get all landed in the moment. Just a moment of silence. Just let everything that's around you just fall away. Just presence ourselves in the now. And we're going to do something a little special. Just imagine yourself expanding, getting bigger and bigger. And bigger still, and bigger still, till you're like standing on the earth, but you're above the clouds. And expand yourself even more. Just feel the incredible largeness of yourself, of your energy field. And just breathe. It feels good. We get all connected and tuned into each other. We take out our mind, you know, because as we've talked about so many times how we think, and our I am presence even lets us think that we think. But before we've awakened to this realization of what's going on inside, of this beautiful force within inside that you actually can even experience just by this simple exercise of expanding yourself. And when we expand ourselves, we connect. And when we connect, we find thoughts that inspire, enlighten. We find things that are bigger than ourselves. Our brain doesn't know the difference. We can trick it pretty easily like that. So our brain's seeing this big, beautiful image. Of course, it just created it for us. Now, there's something really important about this. You see, we just commanded our brain to do something rather than our brain commanding us. And it just does it, doesn't it? It's like the age-old, don't think of a pink elephant. And see what flashes up for you. So Veronica and I were just talking about how her thoughts were attracting something different in her life. And it was so inspiring to hear her talking to them, listening to her and connecting into myself so that I can connect into her so that I don't mistake any of her meaning or her purpose. And we're having fun in normal conversation doing it. It doesn't have to be really serious. We have fun doing it. We have lots of fun. And so when we see the truth, we can place a personal construction upon them and build upon that, rather than if we are listening to something that we think is the truth and we build on that, then we all kind of fall apart and separate. And that's why we spend so much time getting rid of like our selfish desires and replace them with desires that serve the highest and best for everyone. And when we do that, we begin creating for ourselves, and we don't have the troubles and the pains and the illnesses that we once created before. And it keeps us in the present. It's kind of like we think we own the past, you know, somehow. And I hear it in people's conversations. They say, "Oh, my arthritis and my pain in my arm and my sinuses." You know, it's like we own them. It's like a possession. And You notice in relationships, you know, in this macrocosm of things, that relationships, like when you try to own people, that the relationships then start to deteriorate. Because we want them to do what we want them to do instead of what their purpose in life is, and living our lives together, independently. So that's kind of the thrust of what I was going to talk about today, is this whole thing, this whole notion of holding on to the past and how it actually is connected to this thing called possession. Anybody have anything to say about that? See how it runs in your life. Or see how it's running your life.
This is Veronica from California. I've been observing my verbiage surrounding this type of thing, and I've noticed the same thing. I was taking a drive with my husband, and I wasn't feeling the best, and I began to talk to him about it, and I said, "So how do I express what I'm feeling like crap without taking ownership of it?" And I really was, I think I've heard someone tell me before how to do it, and I just didn't retain that information. So totally agree with you and would love to learn more about that.
Ah, great, great, great question. How to express that I feel like crap without saying that. Okay. Lots of great, I mean, that's excellent, because I remember I was, when in my early stages of development here, I was listening to these words say, well, we are what we think. So if somebody was ill, we would tell them to sit there and say, I am healthy, I am healthy. And we found out that didn't work. And what happened was, so we adjusted it. Because what happens when you say, I'm healthy, and you're not, the brain goes, hey, you just lied again, we're going to punish you, and you get worse. That we, it's kind of weird, isn't it? But that's what happens. See, because we know we're not healthy. We're trying to force it to be healthy, but yet, you know, and it didn't work. So all we said, we just changed a little bit. I am healing myself now. You hear the difference? I noticed that I've got this energy and my body doesn't feel so good, and I'm healing myself now. You see how we take the observation and turn it into something empowering, like right away, without trying to bypass the fact that you can't bypass where you are. You have to deal from where you are and move forward. If you don't recognize where you are, there's no way to move forward because you don't know where you are. So if I dropped you off in Kansas blindfolded and took you on a 20-day journey to take you there, even though it might have been in your backyard, told you to go home, how would you know which way to go unless you knew where you were? So we start out where we are, and we say, okay, I recognize I've got this energy working. It's not my arthritis. It's not my sinuses. It's not, oh, yeah, it's in the family. It's in our genes kind of thing. So, yeah, I own it. No, it's like I'm experiencing this energy, and I'm healing myself about it now. How would that work for you?
I think that sounds absolutely wonderful. I love the fact that it's creative.
Yeah, and see, I'm not labeling what we're doing either. I'm not labeling, like, you know, there was a big thing for a long time in hospitals. I said, oh, you have cancer. And people would go home and die. They just accepted it. See, even a better statement would have been, oh, you're exhibiting the signs of cancer in this moment. That's a little better, okay? Or you have energy that is not working for you properly in your body. Let's do something about it. Just simple phrases. See, it's like being mindful of our words.
another question. How much does negativity, ego, jealousy, pride, envy, you know, all of those things, how much does that affect our ability to heal ourselves? And what do we do about it? I mean, the other day I had this, I just shook my head, and I'm just like, wow, this is a really negative day. I just could not get out of it. It was very daunting.
Now, did everybody hear, you proclaim this is a really negative day. People say, oh, this is a bad day. Well, this is going to be a bad day because I got up and stubbed a toe or dropped a cup of coffee. No, you just dropped a cup of coffee. It's not a bad day. That's one thing. How much does negativity, ego affect the ability to heal? A tremendous amount. See, it's just a thought form, a thought pattern. And thoughts create things. So it's very important, just as it is it's very important to control what it is that's going on in your mind. Give your brain different things to think about. I used to just simply chant, or I'd run the centering through my head, because it was hard to do at first for me, really hard. And because my brain fought it, because it wanted to just wander all over the universe and pick up and collect a lot of different energies, many of which were very negative, especially if you live around big cities. People fussing about how bad the traffic is, people forlorn about their jobs, people not enjoying their relationships, and people actually hurting or robbing people. All these things happen in a city, and all those thought waves are going all over the place. And we pick them up. You probably heard, I've talked about the rabbit ear antennas. You know, we used to hold on to those to get a better picture on the TV, because we were much better antennas than what technology could create. So what makes you think you're not that antenna when you're not holding on to the TV? So you're still that antenna. You're still that conduit picking up all of these thoughts. So it's very important. That's a really good question to say, catch yourself. And you say, and here's the thing. You catch yourself, I did it again. What a dumbbell. No, you just accentuated it. Okay. You say, I see what just happened. I thought that negative thought again. I'm going to create a positive thought to replace it right now. And do it. Like, you must take action and create a different paradigm. You have to create a different habit. So the habit is to we've been taught this quite well. When we do something wrong, or what is called wrong, or we do something that doesn't conform, which is a more accurate statement, with what everybody else wants you to do, then we're punished. So we're trained really, really well. So this is one of the paradigms we have to break. So we're not going to punish ourselves anymore. We're going to say, I did it again. I went up to the guy, the fat guy, and called him fat again. You know, oh, geez. You know, and I got squashed again. He sat on me just like he does every other time, you know, to see what happens. So we say, I see, I'm about to do this again. And you stop yourself. And you say something different. Or you say nothing at all. See, once we begin to tune in, I think I mentioned this a long time ago. I used to do centering all the time in the car or I'm driving. I put it on at night and played it while I was sleeping until I could actually remember the words. And I fought it so hard. They're not that difficult to remember. But I just fought it so hard. And what that means, fought it so hard, was that my thoughts were all over the place. I couldn't reel them in. But with some perseverance, I was able to. And maybe the fact that I had to focus driving helped. Maybe the fact that I could distract my brain help. I don't know. All of those factors, I'm sure that did help, based on the result that something, even the side effect that was created from centering while I'm driving, and I'm not suggesting that you do this if you can't handle this sort of thing. But instead of saying, keep my eyes closed for peace and quiet, I said, I keep my eyes open for safety and well-being. And then I would just go through the entire process again. And yes, there were a lot of times when I arrived at where I was going, I had no clue how I got there, but guess what? I got there. Your I Am Presence will take good care of you. It's actually doing the job anyway. Like I started out saying here, you know, our I Am Presence even lets us believe that we think. We even think that we think. But there is this creator, the original creator, the original thinker, the one and only thinker. Now, that's a statement that's difficult to take in. It sounds pretty simple. But what that means is it's all of our thoughts are together. Everything that we've ever thought has already been thought. And everything that we are about to think has already been thought too. It's already been done. I, the creator, am the original thinker, the one and only thinker. It isn't man individually that thinks. It's I that's connected to all that is that thinks, who thinks through the organism called man. So you can see how we can connect to so many things now, all of these different thoughts, because we are them. Now, this ought to be toasting your noodles pretty good, which is the purpose of deep meditation. Just let your noodle get toasted. Let it go away. And direct your thoughts. You know, the side effect of me doing that, I had to stay so incredibly focused because of the road and because of trying to get all the words right and say it properly and get it done, that I all of a sudden started training my mind. And we have misfires. I couldn't train my mind this morning to tell PST from CST and CMT. Total blowout. Somebody's laughing, knows what I'm talking about. I read it and it just didn't go in.
We found a better time. We found a better date and a better time.
Ah, I hear what Timothy just did. What does that feel like? Does he say, oh, you jerk? They might be. I can't hear it, but no, I don't think so. But you see, you say, ah, and we just found another time. It's just like the building codes. It's just like the laws that we have. They're all guidelines to help us to get things done in a way that serves the highest and the best for everyone. And when we pluck out of those laws what fits that bill, it works. So I say, oh, yes, we're going to meet at this time. It isn't like, Tim and I have had an agreement that said, yes, this is the time we're going to meet. We're both committed to that. And sometimes we create a different life to happen for a few minutes here and there. That's not cause to go ballistic on each other. Now, if I was doing it chronically, or he was doing it chronically, or any of us doing it chronically, then we might have to say, gee, we better make a different agreement. This one's not working. Go ahead.
This ties in nicely to what Veronica had said. So my agreement with Greg is 5 a.m. Mountain on Wednesdays, and I'm in Central, and Greg shifted time zones. We missed each other today. In the past, I would have been, gosh, you know, no one's honoring my time, and this ruined my morning. But what happened this morning is I found something else very meaningful to do, and we rescheduled. And so rather than carrying this, my morning started off real swell. I realized this collectively, our connection, we found a better time. There'll be probably more to share and more for me to learn this Friday than what we saw today. And The other great thing is I'm coming on to the Healing Foundation Fresh. So it worked out very well.
Oh, yes, Fresh. Yeah, that's right. This is a great place to see these ahas. Reminds me, I was in Thailand, and they drive on the other side of the street in Thailand. I was riding a motorcycle. And every once in a while, when I'd turn a corner, especially, I think it was the right turn, I'd always go into the wrong lane on the other side, just by habit, you know. And I had to keep training myself going the other side of the street. And one time I didn't, and this car's coming right at me, and he screeches right in front of me. And it was a woman driving with about, oh, my God, there was at least 15 kids if there was one in that car. and so they stopped. There was this little silence for a moment. I screeched on the brakes. They screeched on the brakes, you know. And then they all smiled and waved at me. So they were all happy that we didn't hit. Wouldn't that be a nice world? What happens here when people make a little mistake on their own, especially in New York City? They'll follow you for blocks and yell at you. What happened in L.A., you know, that was a big joke. I think Steve Martin made a big joke out of it, you know. He says, I was driving in L.A., and he goes, What time is it? She goes, it's 5 o'clock. Says, quick, open the glove compartment. And he pulls out a gun. He starts shooting it in the air. He's already anticipating. Oh, this will be a good one for Tim. He's already anticipating a contentious drive. So he's getting the gun out and be ready for it. Think about that in life. How many times is that gun unholstered and it doesn't need to be? Think of this. Each of us is doing the best we can to the best capacity that we can do it to the most amount of time that we can. If you looked at everybody in this way, say, well, you know, just switch places with them for a moment and use that technique, expand yourself, you know, you get outside yourself so that your own petty little desires and things, you know, don't get in the way. I saw this operating in construction when we were towards the end of the day and towards the later years of my construction, when I was getting older and things were getting heavier. I was sure they were getting heavier. and so I would really be careful about my movements, and I would really plan everything out really well so that I made sure that when I lifted things, it was done properly and in a way that almost seemed like I wasn't lifting. And when somebody else was a part of that operation and they didn't obey the rules, that caused me to strain or suffer in some way, or the possibility of hurting myself, I would snap at them. Rather than take the time and say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. This is why I'm doing it this way. This is how it works. But you see, my desire was to have this easy and simple, and somebody was making it hard. So instead of teaching them, I snapped. Think about how often that happens in our lives. Nobody I know, but there's wars everywhere. You see, these things are apparently, they seem like mistakes. They seem like interferences. But in reality, they're just obstacles that are in our way for us to overcome, so that by overcoming them, we finally develop a body and a mind and emotion, a thought that's strong and clean enough and capable enough to express perfectly what we want to express. And in that perfection now, we come into the I Am presence. If you think about it, that which serves, which pure and honest and serves all, you're serving yourself. I am the consciousness of you that is. It's only these bodies that occupy different spaces and time. Our consciousness occupies it all continuously. Each other, our environment, the rocks, the stones, the concrete, the wood, trees, minerals, water. Did I go way off, Veronica, or did you find out how negativity and ego affects ability to heal?
No, real good. I'm following you.
Excellent. Anything you want to add to that?
No.
Can you see where these things are operating in your life, some of these? What I would call error thinking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Anybody else experiencing that? You kind of see these things flowing through your life?
Yes. I had one example happen to me yesterday. And so I work for what they call a Big Four firm. And a promotion was on the horizon. And I've made it through certain levels of the promotion process. Well, yesterday I was on a conference call, and two leaders in the firm said, the decision was made to defer your promotion. And so had a little, a mini meltdown in in the past. It would have been, oh, my gosh, my day is ruined. They ruined my day.
Mm-hmm.
Why me? And what I found with Greg's help is to see that no one did anything to me. And, you know, as that moved through my system, I realized, what is this serving? What is the purpose? And realizing as well, adopting the other person's point of view, no one was calling me to say you're bad and you screwed up. It's a decision that was made beyond even the people that made it. And I am realizing that I'm the creator. I recognize, well, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe there is a greater good to this. And a day later, I've processed and looked at other scenarios, and I realize, you know, there is a path forward. This isn't the end. And certainly, as I accept this and realize that I am part of this, it is not done to me, but I see where, again, I have an opportunity to learn from this, that I was put in my path, I created it. And so it's brought me full circle. I have a different appreciation for the work that I do, and I realize more than ever I'm motivated. And looking back, was I on autopilot? Was I, oh yeah, this is cool, I'm entitled to get the promotion? So it's been quite an eye-opener over the last 24 hours since I had heard that my promotion just deferred. It's not over. I didn't screw up. Just another time, just like rescheduling with Greg for Friday.
Yeah, don't make up anything about it that isn't there.
Yes.
It's like it's suspicions that lead to fears, that lead to frustration, that lead to angers, that lead to angry actions. And no discovery. It's like, wow, we're debacles in our own mind rather than being a legend in your own mind. See, we kind of provide the personality by adding all of our colorful wants and desires to a simple truth. And when we're putting in colorful and beautiful ones and everybody's kind of laughing, having fun with it, that's great. When they slip into ones that don't serve other people and serve to stop other people's genius or their brilliance to from operating, this is when trouble starts. Better than, less than. I was really shocked when I was in the ashram in India, and I had really placed a great deal of reverence on Sri Satya Sai Baba, and people would come by and say, oh, you know, she's not the best guru. There's another guru down the street, you know. And I remembered feeling that energy, and the energy was so low. I said, there's no way I'll go to that guru if this is what he's spawning. Why would one guru be less good than another if they're looking towards the same thing? Well, one of the answers to that is they're not always looking towards the same thing. Some of them are really not gurus, or false prophets with a different agenda. The way to take care of false prophets with a different agenda is to know yourself. That's back to centering again, back to speaking to your perfect self, saying, what is this? Ask yourself empowering questions like, who am I called to be during this particular moment? What is it that is in this? All these people conspired to teach me this lesson. This is one great phrase I've been listening to over and over. It's like, you set your intention and the universe will conspire to make it happen. So like when you were talking earlier, Veronica, about the negativity, you know, and how much does that affect things? It affects it tremendously. So have you ever seen a little baby when it doesn't want to do something? And you're trying to make them do something and they just freeze up, right? And they yell, stop! They scream and yell, and every little bone in their body, every muscle is tight and tense, and they're beet red, you know, because they're 100% committed not to doing what you want them to do. And it totally interrupts everybody's thought pattern. It says, boy, this takes everyone's attention for a few seconds, especially the baby. When you start to hear something like that go in your head, be a baby. Yell, stop, at the top of your lungs. Tighten every muscle in your body, then just let everything go. Do it several times. It'll so interrupt the thought patterns that you'll even forget maybe what you were negativing about. And after a while, you know, practice that in your car where nobody can hear you and have some fun with it. But it's like you can do it in your mind after that. Your brain doesn't know the difference. It's all about imagination, expanding, inspiring yourself. Keep looking for the greatness in yourself. Don Miguel Ruiz calls it being impeccable with your word. You only speak highly about yourself. So you plant in your own mind an expression of an idea as perfectly as you can possibly do it, and set that intention of the result. And then let the universe conspire, because that will give you the perfection that will make it work. Veronica, you were saying you listened to the second module again?
Yes, I did.
What intrigued you?
Not the second one. We're up to the fourth one, the healing module.
The healing module. What was taking your attention that you are zeroing in on that?
Well, it helps to navigate my thoughts back to it helps to align myself with my own healing process. Everything that you've pretty much talked about now, it's because my negativity is around my health. So.
Yeah. Now, see what just happened? Just say that again more responsibly. This is how we can support each other. What did you just say? Anybody catch it? You said, yeah, my negativity.
The negativity that I experience is centered around my health. So,
okay, we'll even clean it up more.
The negativity is... do with.
See how the brain just fights it? It does, but you know.
Well, you caught me on the back foot.
Oh, And this is how we can support each other. You catch each other on the back slope. Go back around there. Where'd she go? She went behind the barn. Go get her. Bring her back here. Or I can say, would you please step outside and send the real Veronica back in? Yeah? It's like,
yep.
There was a negativity that I used to entertain.
Yes.
You see? Hear the difference?
Yeah.
And so let it go, let it go, let it go. So that becomes the conversation. Everything then you say, okay, I'm going to let go of all this negativity. So now that's your intention. So every time you talk about it, say, ah, I remember once when I was negative. You see, and I realized that I used to own my negativity, but now I realize it's just something I make up.
Yeah.
So in the past, when I used to be negative about these things, see how you can phrase the conversation? Mm-hmm. And now you're empowering yourself rather than saying my negativity, which now you just brought it to the present, see? It could have been the second day after you were born. But you say it now. It's now.
Yeah.
Okay? So if I didn't take it too far off track, you remember what you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that healing, that module, that fourth one, It just really helps to and assists retraining exactly what you've just said now to reframe my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so does the meditation as well, the healing part.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I find that the more I do that, the more I can orientate and reframe my thinking and stay a bit focused on that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You see how important it is to, like, especially we have these etheric takeaways, we kind of know something. And it's good if you can operate that way completely, if the change is complete. And if it's not, if you can quantify and qualify what it is that you actually, what we call the takeaway, and say, what did you take away from that? What did you actually learn? What is it that's operating in you that if there were 67 things said and you took away one, you know, identify it, know that it's working within you. And then it starts to become more of a reality. Because remember, it is the same thoughts that created the illness that will create the wellness and vice versa. So by committing it to something that you can put into words and understand, very powerful. That's why I ask, you know, I constantly say, well, you know, what did you take away? What did you get? What happened? Well, I listened to it and I felt wonderful. Well, your brain can trick you about that. You see, it's like, I wanted to get out of pain, so I jumped off the cliff. I'm dead now. It's done. I'm out of pain. You see, the brain can trick you. And it just doesn't know the difference. It is only our personalities that know the difference. That you say, ah, my personality is lending to this, this contraption that my I Am Presence put together in such a way that it can now come back into the whole. We put this seemingly separate being here on the earth in such a way that it can experience things to come back into the fold and make the whole better. Yeah. So this grand scheme of harmony operating in the universe can continue to work.
If you're looking for the one thing that I got or that I get out of that module and that meditation, it is exactly that. It's that it's where I reconnect with my divine self or my I Am. It's getting back to that connection and instilling that into my whole being, that I'm not on my own and that I'm not a single person you know, on my own, doing what I have to do, that I am connected to to my higher self, but also to all that is.
Yeah.
In the past, I had a tendency to forget.
Good catch.
It's nice to. I find that really soothing and reassuring and helpful.
Now, notice what's going on. Does that speak a little bit more clearly to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like we don't have situations where somebody says something and then there's so much room for interpretation. But you say, I used to wake up every morning and drink a quart of whiskey. Now I wake up and drink a quart of water. It's very concise. Speaks, you know, look how short that was. And get to see yourself in this way. See yourself being mindful of your words, especially those directed at yourself. See yourself using empowering phrases, especially on yourself. Now, especially on yourself is an oxymoron, because I am the consciousness of you that is. So if I say especially on myself, I am doing that for all of us. We begin to have a community. A community that empowers, a community that unfolds each other's genius, a community that is committed to seeing each other and ourselves and our greatness. And words like a bad day, a bad morning. I'll leave you with one story here before I depart. And I remember there was this is a true story. The Greek church in Colorado was going to change locations. And, of course, a lot of people on that side of the town wanted to stay there. And other people were on the other side of the town wanted to go closer to where they were. And whatever other petty, selfish reasons were coming up for the church not to move. And at one point, it got really heated. And one person stood up and said, "We can't, how could you possibly move the church? This is sacred ground." And another person stood up and said, "This was a parking lot 15 years ago." Let that one sink in. There's so much to that little statement. Work your head around it. See what happens. Work your heart around it. See what happens. The sacred ground. Well, it's a parking lot 15 years ago. Anybody have anything to add, subtract, leave before we say goodbye?
Well, it really has a lot to do with focus and your mindset, doesn't it?
Yes, very much so. And from a balanced perspective, remember. You can be highly emotional, very focused on one thing that doesn't do you much good. But yes, being very focused on your intention, what it is that you want to create, and then collecting the information, do what we call discovery.
You know, recently I read an article that was passed around on Facebook, and this his father, the picture was of a father standing with his oldest son, who probably was 10, and they were standing over a casket of his youngest son. And the title was, I'm Not Okay, and That's Okay. And just our conversation and keeping it real, some days we just have bad, some days are just hard. And that's okay. I guess my question to you is, on those hard days, support is really good, but when we don't have that support, how do we find that balance? How do we maintain that?
Veronica, did Greg answer your question?
No, I can't hear any. Can't hear him.
Yeah, I've lost Greg. This is the other Veronica.
I thought he was giving us some time to really pontificate.
Yeah, no, he's dropped. He's okay. He's disappeared.
Okay. I'll send him a quick text message.
If you've got access to him, that'd be a good idea.
I'm not sure what happened. I text messaged him, and I see him on Skype, and I sent him a note there as well, and no response.
He's probably trying to work out what to do. Technology.
Oh. Well, he did say he was going to share one last story before he left.
True to his word. Well, ladies, we'll talk again in 2 weeks.
Thank you so much, Tim, for doing that.
All right. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.